101.3 WIBD AM 1470. Bob Seger, 73 on that, I think. And old time rock and roll. Rick Jensen here with your community conversation this morning. Joined in the studio by Washington County Sheriff Marty Schultheis and Deputy Chris Parkinson. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Always a pleasure.
So, part of what we're going to focus on today is Deputy Parkinson has a new sort of addition to his job, I think. What are we? You're now the safety resource deputy?
Yeah, that's the name that has kind of stuck, I guess. We were trying to figure out something catchier, but I guess when everything is said and done, handles everything. I do like to think of it more as readiness security and as well as the safety, but that's the important parts of it.
So explain, if you would, what your focus is going to be.
So for the past year, I've been working with the schools on a additional basis to my patrol duties, and last month I was told that I was going to start doing this full time, and we were going to expand the program into churches and businesses and out to the public more widespread, because there are targets beyond schools for people who want to cause harm to others, and preparedness is an important part of it.
And just so I understand, this is not a new position. This is just kind of a reallocation of resources kind of thing, right?
Correct. Yeah, we didn't add any personnel for it, but we just saw this as a need in the community, so we decided to kind of reallocate and realign our resources. And Deputy Parkinson really has been doing this for the past year already, but he's been dividing his duties between his regular patrol operations and the school safety, really. And we just thought that it would be good for him to just concentrate on that. And as he said, to expand the program to the private sector, like you mentioned, daycares, healthcare centers, churches, businesses. We just saw that as, unfortunately, a need within the community.
Right, right. And, you know, we've talked about this, and a couple of people said, boy, it's kind of sad that we need to have someone do this anymore. But really, you know, I think we do. I think we need a preparedness.
That's exactly it. For us, it's just important that that law enforcement engages the community, and we see that there's a potential problem, and that we do something to address it.
Now, I'm guessing the early on step here, since you're working with schools at the beginning, to kind of get all the schools to follow sort of the same kind of protocol if there's a situation.
Part of it is that many of the schools are already trained. Many of the schools have already, especially the public schools, are already using one particular brand of response protocol called ALICE. There are some of the private schools that haven't had the resources to maybe go out and purchase that training for their staffs on their own, and so that's where I've done a couple of trainings. We've had a couple of the parochial schools get together and do a mass training together back in February. I've worked with a couple of the public schools as well. So the biggest thing is to have an idea of for the staff and the students to know what to do. And then for law enforcement, for us to know what they're going to do, or at least to have an idea of what they're going to do, so we can gauge our response to an incident as well.
And I'm guessing that each school building has its own unique characteristics as well. That's something you have to factor in with this.
Absolutely. I take a lesson from a lot of different previous incidents, and I read pretty much every shooting debrief that I can. Recently was at a training where the HR director from the software company over in Middleton that had the active shooter. Mm-hmm. She talked for about half an hour, 45 minutes, talking about their experiences. And of course, that's not a school. That's 120 adults in a business situation where they all have had some sort of training, maybe not active shooter training, but they've had some sort of preparedness. And they said nothing went according to plan. So now take that and scale it up to 600 elementary school students or 1,400 high school students, and ignoring the building, just this, the people is the question.
Sure, sure. And now, do you work, I'm guessing first you work with teachers and administration and staff, and then is part of what you're doing eventually going to involve students in a drill situation too, or have you done that? Or
we do drills. The drills are directed by the schools themselves. So we will go and assess the drills and coach them up. If there's things that they could do better, if there's things that they really shouldn't be doing, we talk to them about that. But we're not directing the drills. It's the responsibility of the schools to do the drills. Primarily, if we're doing training at this time, we're training the administrators and staff, and then the staff provide the information to the schools, to the students, I should say. There have been a couple of different schools where they've talked about potentially bringing the training directly to the upper level students, the middle school, high school age. We'll move on to that when they ask me to help out with that.
One of the things that we've heard from the West Bend School Administration, from Keewaskum, is as they've done building renovations, they've really changed and are focusing more on security measures as part of that building construction than in the past. And I'm guessing that you're involved to some degree, at least, in conversations on that as well.
In some respects, one of the trainings that I was sent to last fall was a site assessment. It's the Wisconsin's School Safety Coordinators Association puts on the site assessment course. Basically, it's a specific, like a 16-page task sheet looking at every aspect of, you know, physical safety, how the policies and procedures, how the students are actually interacting, whether kids are leaving doors open, whether staff members are following the protocols that they're supposed to be following, how the technology integrates. And so when the schools have asked for assistance with that, I've done a couple of those. I know that in the future, I'm probably going to be doing a lot more of those because the state has mandated that at least on an every 3-year basis, the safety plans are adjusted or at least looked at. And anytime that the safety plans get changed, then they are required to have a site assessment.
So you're working now with schools, but you're going to start working with other, what do we say? We said churches and daycare centers and what have you, and businesses. When can folks from those organizations start to get in touch with you and start to find out what you can do for them?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a little early right now just because we're trying to focus on the schools. And but eventually that's my long-term goal. That's why we specifically created it. I imagine there's probably going to be quite the demand once we get through the school issues. Specifically, like Cedar Lake Campus is a good example. I'd really like to have our personnel in work with their security personnel, freighter hospitals, those types of things. So there's a dire need, but there's only so many hours in a day and so many hours in a work week.
And right now you are working with those groups to some extent, but it's basically on a we've got something happening, send somebody kind of basis, right?
Correct, yes. What we're looking for is the safety planning, the planning for the what could happen. So that's probably the missing link that we're missing right now between us and the private sector.
Right, right. And plus, I'm guessing also, will you start looking at other government buildings too? I mean, the county's got, more buildings than just the courthouse and the jail.
Sure, yeah. We have the Fair Park not too far from here. There's all sorts of in other municipalities. And really, if you look at it, if there is some type of critical incident, and it doesn't matter if it is in the town of Addison or the city of West Bend, all the law enforcement is going to be working together. If it's out in the county, we are certainly going to be calling on the municipalities for help out in our jurisdiction, and I'm certain that it'll The vice versa will also apply if there's a critical incident in West Bend that we'll be assisting them. So it's just real important that that we're all on the same page.
Sure, sure. And just so we reassure people, we don't have anything like a series of credible threats or anything that indications that anything is going to be happening. But it seems like you don't when these events happen, right?
No, this is all really about proactive planning for safety and just being prepared for what we never want to occur within our county.
All right. And you said, Chris, you said you've been working on this kind of stuff for quite a while already.
Yeah, I started over last summer and started slow and it rapidly became obvious to me that this could be a full-time job plus. Just by the number of schools. And if you take out all the municipalities, there's 22 schools that the sheriff's office have in their primary response jurisdiction. But again, we're not going to ignore an emergency at any one of the schools that are in one of the municipalities. We're going to be responding to that, and so a lot of what I've been trying to do is some coordination to know that, you know, if this is what West Bend is going to do at their at school A, B, C, etc., this is what Slinger is going to do at their schools. This is how Hartford's going to handle it. And so some of it has also been that coordination and trying to do some pre-planning so that we're not stepping on each other's toes. We're able to work cooperatively with the other agencies.
But you need an idea. If you're going in there in a situation, you need an idea of what's going to be happening, what kind of people, who is expected to do, I guess, right?
Correct. And that's why having consistent training across the schools is so important. And that's one of the things that the state has suggested with the statewide framework.
Okay. All right. I could almost envision a thing similar to what the Mavis box does for fire, you know, where there's a situation and all of a sudden, you know, West Bend will send a squad and you know, and all that kind of laid out thing. Fireman Kenny explained that to me once, and it intrigues me. So,
yeah, they do a very, very good job of pre-planning, and I think law enforcement, we're just trying to catch up a little bit.
and we are working on that and eventually hope to have plans in place for pretty much every one of the schools in the county. It's time-intensive, though.
Sure, sure. And, of course, you're dealing with, you know, different people in different roles, staff members come and go, administrations come and go. And that complicates it a little bit too, I'm guessing, but not a lot.
Yeah, I've had some assistance on a couple of the pre-plans by one of the other first shift deputies, and he actually was able to during shift time when he wasn't working on other things, he was able to get in and interface with a couple of fire chiefs to find out where they wanted to go and how they thought would be a good way to do things. And so that's how a couple of those got started. And we're just going to build on those and continue moving forward.
What I would say is that it's important for us to put the right personnel in place for it. And Chris has 15 years of experience with our department. He's and so not only he's attended numerous trainings on threat assessment, specifically for active critical incidents at schools, but he also has a tactical background. He's a range instructor, so he has the tactical knowledge and the school knowledge. So we just figured that he was the ideal personnel to put in place for this.
All right. Anything else on the safety resource topic? Otherwise, I got a couple other things I just want to touch on quick. Did we pretty much cover it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So good news on the kitten. We just want to pass that along.
Yes, yeah. What I did not realize at the time that we initially released that story is that one of the deputies was very interested in the feline, and so I think it's a little young to be returned or to turned over to the deputy and specifically the deputy's family, but I think that's where the kitty is headed.
So good thing there. And 4th of July coming up, anything in particular we want people to know? Don't fire off fireworks, that kind of stuff.
Right. Every year we take numerous complaints about people using fireworks. And the irony in the law is that you can When you purchase them, you're given a permit to purchase it, but not to necessarily use it. So there's a little contradiction in the law that we struggle with on occasion. But in essence, what we don't want to see is we don't want to see people hurt, and specifically children.
Right, right. Then an incident a few years ago where somebody was firing off illegal fireworks and got a herd of horses scared, and they went through and demolished fences over in western Wisconsin. I was over there, and they just went through and just it was a real mess, just because somebody wasn't sure what the neighbors had going on. And that's part of it with the, if you're going to shoot off the illegal fireworks, I guess.
Sure, yeah. Animals, you know, horses is a good example. They're not going to know if that is gunshot versus a firework. So the sudden noises that will startle them.
Right, right. And otherwise, the 4th being on a Thursday probably doesn't make it as big of a day traffic-wise, party-wise, et cetera, as it could be sometimes.
Yeah, that's probably correct, although I would say that it's probably weather-dependent as well. That'll increase the activity if it's a nice day out.
All right. All right. Anything else, gentlemen?
I haven't looked at the forecast for the 4th, but hydrate.
There we go. And not just with beer. let's add that part to it, shall we? So, all right, Deputy Chris Parkinson and Washington County Sheriff Marty Schulteis, Community Conversation this morning. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.